My name is Kelly McKay, and I'm a professor at Ryerson University in Toronto, Canada. I'm here today with a couple of guests to talk about some research on festivals and social media, and to provide some insights into how social media might enhance our engagement with festivals and engender loyalty.
Hi, my name is Tara Bartolini, and I am 30 years old. I am an active festival goer and an avid social media user in Toronto. So thank you, Kelly, for including me in this conversation.
And my name is Curtis Maloli. I'm 40 years old. I'm an occasional festival goer, and, you know, I use social media fairly regularly, a few times a week, I guess, but that's the extent of it.
Thanks a bunch. This is a long-term research project that I've been conducting with two colleagues, Christine Van Winkle from the University of Manitoba and Elizabeth Halpenny from the University of Alberta. And the entire project has been funded by the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada. And we have been doing a series of studies on basically mobile technology and use in what we call free choice environments. And those are opportunities and events that basically aren't work related. So you think about volunteer things or leisure settings. And we've used festivals because it's a really unique microcosm of tourism and leisure, residents and visitors, engagement and escape that a lot of people participate in worldwide, and certainly with the proliferation of mobile technology, social media has really taken off. And so we're putting those two things together as part of a long-term research project. So maybe I could just ask you a few questions about your social media use and if you engage with social media when you're at festivals at all.
Yeah, so I go to quite a few music festivals throughout the year, along with art festivals. And I definitely use social media in various ways. So as just a participant at the festival, taking snaps of my personal experience to share with my users and my audience. Some of those have been sponsored in collaboration with brands before entering the festival. Others are just for personal enjoyment to create content that I think is meaningful and that would inspire other Torontonians to come to festivals or to participate or to check out something interesting at the festival. So many of the festivals that I've gone to are within Canada. I have not traveled outside of Canada for festivals, so my experience is very local.
Those are some really interesting points that you've raised, Tara, and that have also surfaced in our research. I'll talk a little bit about that later.
And it is interesting because my experience is so completely unlike that experience. I think I would probably describe myself as being a bit more of a passive user of social media. I do love going to festivals. I was at Nuit Blanche in Montreal in March. I regularly go to the Jazz Festival in Toronto. And so, typically, when I go to one of these events, I might like take one picture or one short video that sort of says like, I'm here, I'm at Nuit Blanche. But that's about the extent of it. I was with my brother at Nuit Blanche this year, and he was like on his Instagram stories, he was kind of live broadcasting it almost. Like he kept taking videos of, we were watching, a DJ play house music. And so he was kind of, bopping along and filming the whole thing and showing the whole crowd. And that seemed like such a strange thing to me. I don't know, maybe because I'm 40 and it's a weird idea to feel like I need to broadcast it to everybody. Like for me, I was just like, Tim, like, put down your phone. Why don't you watch the concert?
The research suggests that the higher the engagement with the festival, the more likely that, that you'll return, which are measures of loyalty, repeat visitation, that kind of thing, positive word of mouth or e-word of mouth, however you're communicating with your friends and family. Other loyalty things would be related to continuing to engage with the festival over a period of time as well. So some of the work that we've been doing is looking at social media use before a festival happens, during the festival, and then after the festival. And that can be like the short term after the festival, but also the period between it occurring again, so longer term as well. And I don't know if you have any experience with that or if you're mostly just involved when you're there.
I think it's common nowadays if you buy a ticket to a festival that you kind of like to use your social media as I've purchased one, I'm going, you should come as well, a way to engage with your friends or the people in your community in a different way. From the standpoint that I've dealt with festivals, so for example, I worked a lot with Way Home, which is a big music festival that no longer exists, but it had a really good life for about 3 or 4 years. They did this series of marketing campaigns where they asked a series of, you can say influencer, I am not an influencer by any means, but at the time they were looking for locals who were involved in specific communities to organically promote the festival, about going to the festival, what the festival was going to be, especially in the first year. I created a series of behind the scenes content that introduced the artists that were going to be making these giant installations for the festival. And for me, that was really interesting. That was my first time where prep prior to attending a festival was really important. And I felt that I had an opportunity to kind of give people a sneak peek of a valuable experience that could happen once they got there.
That's really interesting for me. I was invited to go to Way Home, and I said no. And then my friends who went were using social media to kind of show their experience. And I remember thinking like, oh, like the way people are going to camp out sounds awful. But then they were showing really idyllic videos of everybody kind of, you know, barbecuing and kind of chilled out. And I thought, oh, maybe I was wrong about that. And then, you know, they had these big plastic inflatable chairs that everyone was relaxed and hanging out in. And so the social media use gave me a picture of like, oh, this wasn't what I imagined it to be. Maybe I'll go next year. So that was definitely, from a consumer perspective, mm-hmm. the impact.
I think, too, with Way Home, they were interesting because they decided to go with local influencers to kind of spread the word. They were able to do something really interesting with their advertising campaign. So instead of going out and making a standard video that would show people dancing at a festival and whatnot, they ended up doing this poster campaign around Toronto that had clues. And each week you would get a new clue and you'd have to decipher something about this clue. And there was prizes and entry fees and all this kind of stuff. So because they kind of requested the community to step up and figure out how to promote this festival amongst themselves, they were allowed to really shift their marketing plan for the festival and do something really interesting. And I think the combination was unique. It wasn't something we'd seen in Toronto before.
Yeah, it certainly built anticipation as part of the whole festival experience was mm-hmm. starting before the actual event. It is important, and mm-hmm. it's one of the things that we take into consideration, sort of the multiple phases of the experience. A lot of the work has been done about planning and anticipation with respect to technology and events and that kind of thing. What we're seeing is the need to engage more with festival goers when they're actually at the festival. Because as Tara mentioned, sometimes it can be a distraction, actually. And so finding the right balance of engaging people and not distracting them from the actuality of the space and the place and what's happening is really important.
I imagine in your research, are people more like me? Tara sounds pretty sophisticated.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what does the research say about my kind of participation?
Yeah, people are more like you. in fact, one of our recent studies, we had researchers at 3 Canadian festivals, a small one, Pele Island Music Festival, a medium-sized one in Edmonton called Symphony Under the Sky, and a large festival, Winnipeg Folk Festival. And what we found was that although almost everybody who went to the festival had a mobile device with them, so over 90%. However, specific festival use of social media showed about half of the people were active before the festivals. That dropped down to about 40% during the festival. And then afterwards, it drops again, 38% active in social media. That's with the festival. Could have been using it for other things, but with the festival. So there's a real opportunity. There are a lot of people who aren't using social media. And that's a question. Why not? You know.
How old were these people? Was there an average age?
In this particular study, we had an average age of 42. So maybe our Symphony Under the Sky audience might have skewed
the numbers a little. Yeah. But then they were like me, right? Yeah. I mean, I didn't really grow up doing this stuff, so it does feel weird sometimes to commodify that experience.
Yeah.
But so then does the research show that this is like an opportunity with people that are sort of my age?
Absolutely, because the by keeping people engaged, whether it's actively posting and writing and making comments and things like that, or even passively following, like you were talking about, just maybe liking or sharing things that don't have as much of an active component to them, it's really important. And in fact, the from our work, it's the passive social media activity, if you will, that actually showed the markers for engagement and loyalty.
Hmm. So passive liking, retweeting, there like particular kinds of social media that you were looking at, or
mostly it was Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
And again, what research shows us is that Twitter is often, and Tara would probably know this, used for information sharing and by festival administrators and festival organizers to push out information and to get people to, go places and do things. Whereas Facebook is more of the people's choice of social media, and where they are more emotionally involved and that kind of thing. So less informational and talking about what they like and don't like about the festival.
Usually Facebook becomes your resource page. So often festivals, we posting updates or maps, so you can figure out where you're going, what lineups are, or what activities are happening at your festival. Usually those are kind of posted through Facebook, and then maybe they spread updates through Twitter or Instagram or what other platforms they have working at the same time. But I do think the generational gap is interesting. I think that because less people are using social media, maybe in their 40s at this festival, they're more engaged with the actual event, which creates a sense of community and a sense of belonging, and you're enjoying the actual activity that is happening. I've mentioned this to Curtis before, that my generation, when you go to an event like this, everyone has phones out, everyone is filming, they're not necessarily focused on the content, they're focused on creating content for themselves. And I think in turn that takes a step away. You don't walk away from the festival feeling like you belong to a community. You don't remember sitting in that audience and everyone was silent and listening to beautiful music. You don't really have those experiences that draw you to go back the same way. So I think that sometimes as you're younger, the younger groups are more focused on their social media content than they actually are about the content of the festival.
Would you say, though, in terms of the meaning of the research, I mean, is there a sense in which you need that festivals need to be training us how to do this? Or how are you envisioning the significance of this?
The work that we've done so far really shows us that the relationship between social media use and engagement and loyalty is there. However, it's there for before the festival and after the festival and not during the festival. And so when you think about the things that we were talking about, the potential for distraction and all of that kind of thing, the need to find the right balance of being involved with your participants and getting them excited and enhancing the experience versus detracting from it is definitely the message that's there. And certainly, I mean, an engaged and loyal audience is something that all organizations are striving for. And with the excitement that can be generated by festivals and the ubiquitous nature of our technology now, there's a real opportunity. So this is why we've been looking at this.
Well, thanks for sharing your research with us. This is really interesting.
Thank you.